Now, Ryan, I'm very interested, after you've heard this talk, how you can put the Twinner thought experiment into a what if P form. Okay, so there's your challenge for this evening. Right, let's get going. In this short lecture, I will. First of all, I'm going to identify three claims, and I'm going to take it that you'll find each of these claims plausible. Okay, I'm not saying that you'll find them definitely true, but you'll find each plausible. Then I'm going to explain the Twinner thought experiment, which purports to show that the first of these claims is false. Okay. I'm going to briefly run through the ramifications that people have thought to follow from Twinner. And then I'm going to consider objections to this thought experiment. So there's quite a lot to do in a very short time. Okay, so let's look at claim one. So this is the first of my three claims that you're going to find plausible. The contents of our beliefs are determined solely by properties intrinsic to us. So let me say what I mean quickly by intrinsic properties. Properties that we would have even if there was nothing else in the world. Okay, so you could all drop out. I would still have the physical properties that I have, in particular the neurophysiological properties that I have. I'd also still have the phenomenal properties that I have. So it would look to me the same way. If you were all to disappear, the world would look rather different. But my phenomenal properties would still be as they would have been without your being there. You don't determine how things seem to me. And finally, my behavioural dispositions, which we assume are determined by the way my brain is, are again properties intrinsic to me, because my brain is intrinsic to me. So internalists believe that the contents of our beliefs are determined solely by properties intrinsic to us. And the famous internalist, of course, is Descartes, who believes that our beliefs would be the same whatever our environment is like. So Descartes believes that it's possible that all our beliefs about the external world are false. So I believe there's a room full of people here, but that's a belief about the external world, and according to Descartes that could be false. So I would have that very belief, this room is full of people, whether you were here or not. And of course we can make that plausible by saying I might be dreaming that I'm in this room. So I'd have all the evidence that I have at the moment that the room is full of people. But the room wouldn't be full of people. At least I hope you're not coming to my bedroom tonight. Because I need my sleep. So internalists believe that the content of our beliefs is determined solely by their intrinsic properties, by our intrinsic properties. And here's a little cartoon I've done for you. So this is world one, where our thoughts about... So here, this is Joan. Incidentally, I couldn't help noticing today that all the people that we've been asked to imagine are male. So there's been Leonard and Roger and Henry and James, and so this is Sue. Sue is thinking about cars and trees, and her beliefs are true. So the environment contains cars and trees. And this is Sue again, and she's thinking about cars and trees. But unbeknownst to her, her beliefs are false, because actually there's a wicked scientist who's making her have these beliefs. Okay, so her external world is completely different from that of Sue up here. But she's still having the same thoughts, is the thought, because the thing that determines her thoughts is not the world, but what's going on inside her head. The properties intrinsic to Sue. Okay, so that was claim one. Claim two is the contents of our belief determine the meanings of the words that we utter to express those beliefs. Now, I said claim one ought to be plausible to you. The reason it's plausible to you is the thought that actually what my words mean is determined by what I'm intending them to mean. So if Nikolai asks me whether Jonathan's handwriting is good, and I say, sorry, whether he's good at philosophy, and I say his handwriting is excellent, you know what I intend those words to mean. It's my intrinsic properties that make them mean that, is the thought. So claim two is that the contents of our belief determine the meanings of the words that we utter to express those beliefs. So it's because I believe what I believe that the words I utter mean what they mean. And this refers to speaker meaning, not sentence meaning. It's very important that that should be the case, because think again about that example. Jonathan's handwriting is excellent. The words of that, I mean, the reason that my meaning that he's not a good philosopher comes across clearly is because the words I uttered were totally inappropriate as an answer to your question. So you're immediately alerted to the fact that my words mean something other than they usually mean, and you get immediately what they mean. So it's speaker meaning, not sentence meaning, that's important. So speakers utter sentences with type meaning, sentence meaning, to express their beliefs by means of speaker meaning. And you, as the listener, will put together the speaker meaning from the type meaning of the words uttered, plus the context, plus the tone, plus all sorts of other things. So if I say, I'm not angry, you'll take... Okay, you've understood the meaning, but you've got it from my tone, not from the words I uttered. Okay, so that's the second claim. The third claim is the meaning of our words, together with the context in which they're uttered, determines the truth value of the claim that we make. So if I say Alan's wearing a khaki shirt, this is Alan, he's wearing a khaki shirt, he won't stand up and show you, but he is, believe me. So Alan is wearing a khaki shirt is true in this context, but were we talking a week ago, you were wearing a different coloured shirt. So the meaning of my words would have been the same, but the context would have been different, and my utterance would have been false. So it's true here, because if you put the meaning of my words together with the context in which they're uttered, you get the truth value true. Whereas if you get the meaning of my words plus the context of a week ago, the truth value would have been false. So this states that we determine the truth value of an utterance by appeal to the speaker meaning of an utterance, its conditions of truth or falsity. In other words, what it is to mean Alan's shirt is khaki, plus the context in which it's uttered, literally the world. Is what makes my utterances true or false. The Twinner thought experiment, if it works, shows that we've got to reject one or other of these three claims. And this is the thought experiment. Okay, so we've got to imagine a person, Oscar, who's male, so we're going to change that to Oscar. I can't do it on the hop. So a person, Oscar, who lives on Earth, another planet identical to Earth on which there lives a doppelganger of Oscar, and we'll call the other planet Twin Earth, and the Oscar's doppelganger Oscar TE, subscripts TE, and the year is 1750, before the discovery of the chemical composition of water. So nobody knew that water was H2O at this time. So further suppose that Earth and Twin Earth are molecule for molecule identical, except for the fact that the liquid flowing in the rivers and from the tap has the chemical composition XYZ rather than H2O. And I really wish Putnam hadn't chosen water. I mean, we can see why we wish he hadn't chosen this, but this is a thought experiment and you have to suspend belief. So Oscar and twin Oscar are identical with respect to their intrinsic properties. Okay, they're molecule for molecule identical. That means that the neurophysiological properties of the brain are the same. Their phenomenal properties are the same. So when they're looking at the same thing, the thing looks the same to them. And their behavioural dispositions are the same. Because their brains are the same, the way the world looks the same, why would they behave differently from each other? And I do think Okay, do bear with me. We can't. Sorry, I'll read that out for those at the back. It's obvious, given that water is H2O and water is XYZ, that both Oscars are 90% water, that neither of these two claims can actually be correct. But this is a thought experiment.
Isn't Oscar Twinner's 90% XYZ and not water?
They're both water. No, the word, don't forget the languages word. Have a word in this that looks exactly like that. So this is on Twin Earth. We've got Oscar Twin Earth, who's thinking about water, okay? And he's saying, that's water. I mean, if you heard him utter that's water, it sounds as if he was saying that's water. And he's looking at a glass of XYZ. And this is Earth, and it's Oscar who's thinking about water. He's saying that's water, and he's looking at a glass of H2O. So that's the situation. Now, Putnam first notes that if we accept the three claims that I've said are plausible, then by claim one, Oscar and twin Oscar are intrinsically identical, and therefore such that the contents of their beliefs are the same. So when we look at this, they're thinking that's water, and the content of their thoughts is the same, because the world appears to them the same way. Their intrinsic properties, neurophysiological properties and phenomenal properties are exactly the same, so there's no difference between them intrinsically, and by claim one, therefore, the contents of their belief have got to be the same. By claim two, given that their beliefs are identical, it means that their utterances should have the same speaker meaning. If speaker meaning is determined by the content of the speaker's thoughts, then given that they have the same thoughts, then the words have the same meaning. That's claim two. And then claim three, when Oscar and twin Oscar are in the same context, their utterances should have the same truth value. If Alan and I are intrinsically identical, and if the content of our thoughts is determined by our intrinsic properties, and those are identical, then the contents of our thoughts will be identical. If the contents of our thoughts determine the meaning of our words, then the meaning of our words will be identical. And if the meaning of our words determines in context the truth value of those words, when we're in the same context, the truth value should be identical. Okay, it won't follow if we're not in the same context, but if we were in the same context, the utterances should have the same truth value. But, Putnam argues, we should now imagine that Oscar is transported in his sleep to Twin Earth. So Oscar and Twin Oscar find themselves in the same room looking at the same glass of XYZ. We're on Twin Earth now. So they're both in the same room, so they're in the same context. We're getting that complication out of the way. They're both looking at that, and they both phenomenally are identical, so they see the same thing. Given that their intrinsic properties determine the contents of their beliefs, what they're thinking is the same. Given that their thoughts determine the meaning of their words, the meaning of the words are the same. And given that the meaning of their words in a context determines the truth value of their words and beliefs should be the same. But we have questions for you now. Firstly, we want to know, or I'm going to ask you, do Oscar and twin Oscar have beliefs with the same content? Secondly, do the utterances of Oscar and twin Oscar have the same meaning? Do Oscar and twin Oscar have beliefs with the same truth value? And do the utterances of Oscar and twin Oscar have the same truth value? So here's... Okay, Putnam answers no to all four questions, but I'm interested in what you want to answer. So here's the situation. They're in the same context on Twin Earth. They're both looking at a glass of XYZ. And don't forget, nobody knows what the chemical composition of water is. So that's, nobody knows that. But of course, water on Twin Earth still has the chemical composition XYZ, and water on Earth has the chemical composition H2O. Okay, who thinks the twins have the same belief? Put your hands up. Okay, most of you. Who thinks that the utterances have the same meaning? Put your hands up. Okay, again, most of you. Who thinks their beliefs and utterances have the same truth value in this situation? Most of you again. Okay, that's interesting. So Putnam starts by answering no to questions 3 and 4. He thinks the beliefs and utterances of the twins don't have the same truth value. And the reason he thinks this is because he thinks water in the mouth of Oscar, twin Oscar, has the meaning X, Y, Z. So his beliefs and his utterances are true, but that's water, as believed and as spoken by Oscar, means H2O. So even though nobody knew that water was H2O, the meaning of water already linked to the real essence of water, H2O.
I'll
tell you what, let me continue.
It's set up so that that cannot be true.
Okay.
The whole thing is set up so it can't be true.
No, it's not.
It's 1750.
No, it's definitely not. No, that's not an objection. Let's go
H2O
on.
H2O cannot be a part of the thought of Oscar. It's set up so that it's not the case.
It can't be part of his thought, but
it might still be true that
But you talk about his beliefs.
Can I finish?
Yes.
Right. Okay, so he believes that the twins' beliefs and utterances don't have the same truth value. His argument for this is, while the twins are in the same context, looking at the same glass of water, Oscar's belief, this is water, and his utterance, that is water, will be false, because what he's looking at isn't H2O, whereas Oscar Twin Earth's belief and his utterance, this is water, will be true, because his meaning of the word water... Stop shaking your head, Sandra! As philosophers, the idea is that you suspend your own thoughts until we get to the end of the argument. Having got to the end of the argument, we then marshal our disagreements. We don't close our minds against the argument straight away. Okay, if we accept that the twins' beliefs and utterances differ in truth value, which we don't, obviously, so we've got to accept one of the following things. Either the twins don't have beliefs with the same content, despite the fact that they're intrinsically identical, that would make claim one false. Or the twins do have beliefs with the same content, because they are intrinsically identical, but the speaker meaning of their utterances isn't determined by the content of their beliefs. Okay, that makes claim two false. And you'll have the handout, so you'll be able to go through this in your own time and follow it through. Or we could say that the twins do have the same belief, and that the speaker meaning of their utterances is determined by the content of their beliefs, but the truth value of their utterances isn't determined in a context by the speaker meaning of their words. So that would be claim three is false. So whichever way you go on this thought experiment, one of those three claims is going to be false, okay, despite the fact that all were plausible. So Putnam argues that to accept B or C is to leave ourselves... firstly, with no story about what determines the speaker meaning of our words. After all, he says, what could determine what we mean by our words other than what we intend them to mean? Okay? He thinks that if we don't think that it's our intentions to do with meaning that determine what our words means, then what do they mean? What does determine them? What determines the truth value of our utterances, except the meaning of our words relative to a context, if it isn't the meaning of our words, then how the hell do we determine what the truth value of our utterances is? And therefore, he says, we've got to reject internalism, reject Cartesian internalism, because we've got to accept A, can't remember what A was. A was, yes, the contents of our beliefs are determined solely by properties intrinsic to us. Yep. So we've got to reject that one, the idea that the content of our belief is determined solely by properties intrinsic to ourselves, and yes, reject Cartesian internalism.
When you say accepting A, then is that correct? Shouldn't that be rejecting A and into Cartesian internalism?
Yes, it can't
be. Because A was the Cartesian internalism one, I think.
Can you add it there?
I may have got it up. I just remember.
Oh, hang on.
Right at the beginning.
I think I've. How very irritating.
Yes.
This is an illustration of your thesis, because you had an intention to say.
No, there wasn't a name, was there?
You had a
name.
Well, never mind. Okay, let me carry on, because I'm worried about time. We've got time for
time. We've got a discussion after you. If we overrun a little bit, it will be better. Don't worry. We need to get this straight.
So that was the thought experiment, and the ramifications have been thought to be huge. Okay, if Putnam is right, and many philosophers, possibly most, in fact I think it's probably fair to say most, do think he's right, contents and meanings, so the contents of our beliefs and the meaning of our words, are individuated at least in part by their relational properties. In other words, by the society in which we live and by the environment in which we live. Actually, I must admit, I find it hard to think any other way now. That just seems so obvious. But when Putnam was first writing, that was not only not obvious, most people would have rejected that. Cartesian scepticism is based on a false theory of meaning. I mean, that's one of the really most interesting ramifications of the Twin Earth Thought Experiment, because it shows that Cartesian scepticism is based on internalism, and if internalism is wrong, so is Cartesian scepticism. First person authority on mental states and meanings is compromised, because if the meanings of my words are determined in part by the environment and in part by the society in which I live, then why should I be an expert on the meaning of my words? And Putnam points out that I'm not. If I want to know whether something's gold, I go to an expert and I ask him or her to check. There's a division of linguistic labour. I'm not an expert on what my words mean. On some of them I am, but not on all of them. Mental states can't be type-identified with neural states. So if we think that the belief that P is a neural state N, but if we say that my belief that P is that Alan is wearing a green shirt, well, if I couldn't have that belief, if Alan didn't exist, then someone who doesn't know Alan, but Alan himself is part of the content of that thought. Therefore, if he didn't exist, I couldn't be having that thought. So anyone who hasn't been in causal contact at all with Alan can't think about Alan at all. Mental states can't be identified with narrow causal roles of neural states. Let's ignore that. It's to do with functionalism. It's to do with the idea that the narrow causal role, which is just the causal role of a neural state inside the head. And we've got to explain how non-narrowly individuated contents can be causally implicated in the production of actions. So these are huge ramifications. They are all ramifications of the Twin Earth Thought Experiment, which most philosophers believe to be correct. But if we can get rid of the Thought Experiment, that would be great. We could just go back to all these things that we used to think. So, let's have a quick look at some objections. Firstly, we'll look at meaning, rigid designation, and natural kind terms, which is, I suspect, where you're all wanting to object anyway. Second, we're going to look at the idea that the whole thought experiment can be rejected. And here we can look at it on scientific grounds, reject the thought experiment on scientific grounds, and on philosophical grounds. So I'm going to look at objections of all these kinds. So, oh, that's a bit alarming, isn't it, when the font goes so small. Putnam clearly assumes in his thought experiment that both water and water twin earth refer rigidly to the real essence of a liquid ostensibly defined in a context, earth and twin earth respectively, by its nominal essence. So water on earth, it's colourless, it's liquid, it's tasteless, usually when we're not in Oxford, and so on. That's its nominal essence. But when the first person said, that's water, she or he was pointing at a glass of XYZ, H2O. And that's why when scientists in 1750 discovered the chemical composition of Oxford, what they were discovering is that water is H2O. That was a theoretical identification of water with the chemical constitution H2O. And presumably on twin earth, the scientists were discovering the chemical composition of water was XYZ. That was the discovery that water is XYZ. And at the same time, it was the discovery that water for us is not XYZ. And so therefore, if we're looking at a glass of XYZ and saying that's water, we would be wrong. So we can question this assumption, and that's what I think many of you will be doing. That's certainly what Bill does. So we could think that both water and water twin earth have the same disjunctive meaning. So if we assume this, what we're saying is that water and water TE have the same meaning, and that water is XYZ or H2O. Oops. Sorry, brackets. Okay, now in that case, can you see that when they're both on twin earth and they're both looking at the glass of XYZ, then both their thoughts would be right. So that's what you were probably thinking when you insisted that their truth values... Well, most people were. You weren't, I noticed. But most people were thinking that the earth Oscar's beliefs and utterances were true. Did most people think that?
Yes.
Anyone who thought that must have been thinking of that as the meaning. Because if you're allowing XYZ... No. Oh, okay, what were you thinking?
It means the stuff that falls from the sky.
Oh, okay, yeah, sorry.
Nothing to do with any chemical because they still not have those... Concept.
The meaning of water is the nominal essence of water.
It's a clear liquid.
It's
don't worry about chemicals.
It isn't there,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It's a clear liquid that you can use to wash in and that you can... Yeah, I'm sorry, you could do that. Okay, so we could insist that would have the same effect, actually. I agree, it wouldn't be the same account of meaning, but it would have the same effect. It would mean that the Oscars... thoughts on twin earth would be true.
Yes.
Okay, so
maybe if
we twin earth originally designate a nominal rather than a real essence. Okay, and of course the same nominal essence, because water and water have the same nominal essence. They look the same, they behave the same, they taste the same, let's say. And on this theory, the twins' beliefs and utterances would have the same truth value even when they're on twin earth. Okay, and the thought experiment would fizzle out. Okay, who is happy with that? Who wants to make that objection to twin earth? Okay, most of you. Who doesn't want to make that objection?
It depends what you mean by truth value.
Truth value is whether a sentence is true or false.
Yes, but then that depends on your test was they're both saying this is water. If you write it straight like that, you use "this is water" as a sentence, and it has one truth value. If you put "this is water" in quotes, they're thinking, "this is water," and you're mentioning that sentence, that gives you quite a different truth value.
Well, I'm using truth value to it, given that we're asking for the meaning of what the twins' thoughts are and what the content of the research and what the thoughts are. We're using what we think the truth value is to go back and solve for the meaning and content.
You're switching from one kind of meaning to another kind of meaning.
I promise you I'm not switching from one kind of meaning to the other. Okay, those who are making this objection, let me give you this response, okay? When science discovered that H2O is the chemical composition of water, we might have decided either that the meaning of water goes with the nominal essence of water, or that it goes with the real essence of water. That's a decision that we could make. I mean, we might still make it.
Is that a decision for what we think, not what Oscar thinks?
That's irrelevant, what Oscar thinks. It's what we think. What Oscar thinks is irrelevant. We're asking about what the meaning of water is. So I think, and you may disagree, that we decided the latter, because most of us would deny that a liquid with a chemical composition other than H2O is water. Mm-hmm. Yeah. This might have been different if we had discovered some liquid in Cheshire that shares the nominal essence of water, in other words, it looks like water, behaves like water, etc., but has the chemical composition XYZ, then I think we might have decided there are two types of water. And then the meaning of water is H2O or XYZ. Then water would have rigidly designated a nominal essence, if we had decided that. But I don't think we did decide that. I don't think that this possibility is actualised. I agree with you that that is possible. I think that what we did decide is that the meaning of water is H2O.
And therefore, both the scientists, both of Oscar's landing on twin Earth would have a different answer to the two glasses of water. If they agree that water had to be H2O. When they encountered water which was XYZ, it wouldn't be water. They would both be right. You haven't produced the paradox.
Okay, what we've got here is they're looking at a glass of XYZ. Okay.
They don't know it's XYZ.
They don't know it's XYZ, no. They're both thinking about what they're looking at. And as they're looking at the same thing, the phenomenal qualities of that they are both experiencing are the same. They're both thinking that's water, because their language sounds the same. We're not saying it is the same, because that's what we're asking about, whether their beliefs are the same. And the sentence they utter, that's water, again, sounds the same, but what we're asking about is whether it means the same. And Putnam is saying, if it's true that this one's belief is false and this one's belief is true, then that has ramifications for what the meaning of water is and what the content of their beliefs are. But if they're both true, if that's the real meaning of water, then, as you say, the truth thought experiment fizzles out. It's uninteresting.
What is this, the fact that
what
scientists
is this real meaning? I've never heard of a real meaning. I know.
I mentioned real meaning? Did I say real meaning?
You did. You said the real meaning of water is H2O. Yes, and I'm saying you introduced us to speak of meaning.
And I said the real
which
essence.
Is what people mean to mean.
What
is the real essence? I'm not clear about this. Both Oscars mean is what they intend.
A nominal essence is the description that we mean to determine, well, we could use it to mean determine the meaning of a word. So a tiger is orange with black stripes. Big cat is orange with black stripes. That's a nominal essence of a tiger. The real essence of a tiger is the DNA that a genetic specialist would look at and say, that's a tiger.
What is their
Well, why on earth is that realer than being orange?
Because there's an argument for saying that a tiger, an albino tiger, is still a tiger. But a creature without the DNA of a tiger isn't a tiger.
Wait a minute, two tigers have exactly the same DNA.
No more than two humans do.
You're just making a definition on a class basis.
Yeah. Would you like to take over?
I just don't like this idea of a real essence. It's all
sounds okay. But this is what we're looking at is a thought experiment that depends upon the notion of a real essence, and you can disagree with that, and that's fine. Let me go on with my. That was your objection, and Jonathan, that's your objection too. So. We're making a distinction between real essence and nominal essence. Putnam's experiment relies on the fact that water picks out the real essence, not the nominal essence. And if you want to say it picks out the nominal essence, not the real essence, therefore both the twins are saying the same thing on Twitter, that would be a perfectly respectable thing to say. The thought experiment would fizzle out. We've got rid of the thought experiment. But what I'm saying to that is that I think that we did decide that the meaning of water goes with the real essence of water, the chemical constitution of water. And if I'm right about that, then I think the thought experiment goes through. But we can disagree on that, and that's fine. Were we to discover on Kepler 452b, that's apparently the planet that's very like Earth, a liquid that shares the nominal essence water but has the chemical composition XYZ, we might decide to change the meaning of water. We might decide that it now means H2O or XYZ, so it no longer rigidly designates a real essence, but that it would now designate a nominal essence. But I still think this would be a change of meaning. It wouldn't be the discovery that all along water meant H2O or XYZ. And if you think that, you'll think Putnam was right, the thought experiment was right. Again, you might disagree, you might think that this wouldn't be the change of meaning, this would be just a maintenance of the same meaning, because it was always a disjunctive meaning. Okay, fine.
But I think the Putnam experiment, relies on having people who are ignorant of the difference between XYZ and H2O, but still allowing for one of their judgments to be wrong on some real essence definition of water.
That's right.
Which is, as you say, a decision in the case where somebody knows there's a difference. Oscars don't know there's a difference, and so they just mean water by its nominal essence, and they don't have a problem.
And the question hinges on whether you think that the discovery of water as H2O changed the meaning of water, or we discovered that all along water meant H2O.
I mean, see how it can all along there's a decision. A suggestion that somehow nobody knew it, but it was still.
Well, because when you ostensibly define something, you say that is water.
Yeah.
According to those who go along with the real essence, and to, as I keep saying, we can reject this, but according to what you're saying is that this stuff has a real essence, and this stuff is water.
And it's
so there's assumption. We don't know, so the real essence is empirically unknown when the meaning is given, but it's believes that there is an empirically discoverable real essence, and that real essence is key to what this stuff is.
As long as they don't know it, I don't see how they can do that.
I see that lots of people want to ask questions. I want to finish my presentation, and we've got a whole hour of questions afterwards. So why don't I just go through, and then we can all ask the questions that we want to. So I said then, the thought experiment can be rejected on scientific grounds, so we could say that nothing that lacks the chemical composition H2O could have the macroscopic properties of water H2O. So the whole thought experiment is just empirically doesn't work, because it simply couldn't have it just doesn't work like that.
I could be Asian. And I think there are
two responses to this. The first one is, it may not be nomologically possible, in other words, the laws of nature on this planet don't allow for anything that lacks the chemical composition H2O to have the macroscopic properties of water, but it is logically possible. Logic doesn't have to stick to the laws of nature. So what we're asking is not whether it's empirically possible, but whether logic could admit a world in which two liquids that are macroscopically and behaviourally identical could nevertheless have a different chemical composition. And I'm saying, to that, I'm not sure. Discerning logical possibilities is actually quite difficult. David Lewis thinks that there are no gaps in logical space, i.e. absolutely every way the world could be is a way that some possible world is. But that just makes me want to ask, well, could water have the chemical composition X, Y, Z? Is it the way the world could be or not? It really isn't helpful. But I want to say, but does it matter? I mean, who cares? This is quite a good thought experiment, even if scientifically it is a bit illiterate. But we knew right from the beginning it is hugely illiterate, given that Putnam did use water.
This is what Putnam's done, though, excuse me. I mean, because hasn't he set up a possible world? In the actual world, water means H2O, if nothing else. But hasn't he set up a possible world in which water can mean either H2O or XYZ?
Well,
and therefore it's only in that world where you have this situation here, water.
No, what we're asking about is the meaning of water in this world. We're asking about the meaning of natural kind terms in this world.
So
we're using Twin Earth as a way of undermining
the world to the actual world. I'm sure you can't do that because they're different.
Well, let's have a look at this response two to the scientific objection. We can change the thought experiment to involve topaz and citrine instead of H2O and XYZ. So Maximilian de Gainsford, who was here talking a couple of years ago, argues that topaz and citrine have exactly the same nominal essence. They are macroscopically identical, they behave in the same way, and yet they differ in their chemical composition. You'll just have to take his word for it. That's what the chemical composition is. This enables us to run the thought experiment without even leaving Earth. We don't have to have Twin Earth there. We can run the thought experiment all on Earth.
Well,
it's not so much fun, but there you are. I've only got two slides to go, so that's... So, rejecting the thought experiment on philosophical grounds, that was rejecting it on scientific grounds. Some philosophers think we shouldn't rely on thought experiments for anything. I mean, Peter mentioned them earlier. Daniel Dennett thinks that such experiments are intuition pumps. We get out only what we put in. And if you think that, then you're not going to be convinced by Twin Earth, whatever the situation is. Other philosophers say that we should never rely on intuition because intuitions are culturally specific. And that's what the
experimental philosophers.
Yes, what do they call themselves? X-Fi people think. They think there's empirical evidence for the cultural specificity of intuitions. And if that's right, then the fact that when we rely on intuition, there is a big question about reliance on intuition if intuitions are culturally specific. So that's my rock through the Twin Earth thought experiments. Sorry there weren't many pictures. And sorry, we can now ask as many questions as we like.
Okay.